This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Commerce and Energy, we will call to order. I'd like to welcome everybody that's in the room as well as anybody that might be online. I'd like to remind you all to turn off your cell phones or put them on silent. And if you are planning on testifying, if you would sign at the podium there. We will be deferring 157 until Friday. Is there anyone in the room that was going to testify to that one? All right, so that one will be deferred. I would take a motion, entertain a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
We better do roll call.
Oh, sorry. Let's do roll call.
Representative Anderson.
Here.
Bartles is excused. Bordeaux is excused. Ladner is excused. Perry.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Schneider.
Here.
Vasgard.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Weisgram is excused. Willitson.
Here.
Beal.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Madam Chair, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Now I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Representative Perry moves to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Second by Representative Beal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Minutes are approved. With that, I would like to have the pages introduce themselves. If you would tell us your name, where you're from, and maybe what your goals are.
I'm Erica Ingerson, and I'm from Eureka. My goals, I am planning on going to Mitchell Tech for machining and manufacturing, and then I'd like to work with my dad in his welding shop.
My name is Grace Glover. I'm from Sioux Falls. I plan to attend the University of South Dakota next year, and I don't know what for yet, but I'll figure it out.
Where do you go to school?
Are you related to anybody?
Thank you.
Where do you go to school, Grace?
Are you related to anybody in here?
Representative Willitson is my grandpa.
Oh, really?
Yes.
See, that's a great thing. You didn't end up looking like
Careful, Representative Beal. I'll tell them what day it is. Thank you, and we do appreciate all that you do for us. That really makes our job easier up here and helps keep things moving. How about our interns? Would you introduce yourselves as well?
My name is Griffin Westra. I'm from Sioux Falls, and I'm currently a junior at the University of South Dakota studying business.
Hi, I'm Shelby Guthrie. I just graduated from School of Mines with a chemical engineering degree and hoping to go to grad school.
And thank you both as well. With that, we are going to move right into our calendar. Senate Bill 17, Revised Provisions Regarding Cost Reimbursement Associated with Medical Cannabis. Proponent test.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mark Willitson from District 11 in Sioux Falls. And if I might indulge in a personal privilege, I would like to wish our Vice Chair, my friend, Arch Beal, happy birthday today. Yes, I'm sucking up. I'd like to have this on consent. thank you. So, Senate Bill 17, it came out of the summer study, the marijuana summer study, and it just adds one line to law, and that's in Section 1, Part 1. It just says that a private health insurer, a worker compensation insurance carrier, or a self-insured employer who provides work comp benefits to their employees are not required to reimburse for medical cannabis. So it is pretty straightforward. That's exactly what it does. So I would appreciate your support on Senate Bill 17, and I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Any other proponent testimony in the room on Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, any opponent testimony on Senate Bill 17? Seeing none, we'll move into committee questions. Seeing none again, I will move into committee action and or Representative Reed.
Madam Chair, I move due pass on Senate Bill 17.
Due pass motion by Representative Reed with a second by Representative Beal. Any comments on your motion?
No, I think that obviously this came out of the interim study committee, so it's a bill that's been thoroughly vetted before. And also, I think it is wise that we don't force any of the insurance policies to include marijuana, only if they choose to.
All right, thank you. With that, Secretary, would you please call the vote?
Representatives Anderson?
Aye.
Bartles is excused. Bordeaux is excused. Ladner is excused. Perry?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Vasgard?
Aye.
Weiss?
Aye.
Weisgram excused. Willitson?
Aye.
Beal?
Aye.
Milstead?
Aye.
Madam Chair, we have 9 yay.
Okay, Senate Bill 17 will go to the floor. May we put it on consent?
Please.
Okay, that will go on consent. Thank you. And then we will move on to Senate Bill 101, revised provisions regarding the sale or service of alcoholic beverages by persons under the age of 21. Proponent testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's an honor to be here today. Charlie Hoffman, District 23 representative. And I primed this bill because I know the prime sponsor, and I know he's got boots on the ground. What this bill really is, it's a workforce initiative bill. It's going to encourage younger people to work. And that said, I don't believe it's had a nay vote. Has it had a nay vote yet in the Senate? Just one. Okay. But I'm going to let the prime sponsor talk on this. It's his bill. I think it's a great bill, and I'm hoping that you can come to the same conclusion on this bill as I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Other proponent testimony.
Good morning. District 1 State Senator Mike Roll. Senate Bill 101 is a... As a result of working with the department as well as kind of the industry that's involved with it, and what it's essentially doing in the state of South Dakota currently, you're allowed, as we know, there's a three-tier system, and there's only one tier of the system where we actually put age category restrictions. So by current law, you're currently allowed to load a truck, you're allowed to load a cooler, you're allowed to serve the beverage, whether it's or if it's already open. But in South Dakota, the act of actually twisting it and opening the actual bottle is not allowed. So what this bill does is it allows restaurants, by definition, so not necessarily a bar, because you have to have less than 50% of your sales coming from alcohol. And it would essentially say that if there's another adult that's 21 on site, currently working, and the person from 18 to 20 was certified by a nationally recognized alcohol management program, which in South Dakota we use the TAM certification, which is the Techniques in Alcohol Management. If they go through this class and get licensed, they would be able to bartend in an actual establishment that had less than 50% sales of alcohol. And the reason this kind of came about, as you guys can see on the sheets that were passed out, 33 other states already allow this in some capacity. We would actually be the only state of these that would require that TAM certification, kind of as an extra backstop. And it would also apply to off sale as long as less than 50% of the sales. So you couldn't go work at an actual liquor store per se. But if you're at a big grocery store or something along those lines, as long as you still had someone 21 out there, you could physically still scan it. The bill did come through committee unanimously. Had very strong support on the Senate floor. Really what this bill will help, it's going to help restaurants, grocery stores, entertainment venues, seasonal and tourism heavy areas, rural businesses and communities. We see a lot of times people perceive college age kids to kind of be service industry employees, which isn't necessarily the truth in all scenarios. But the way the current law is written, a lot of times that these people can't even be hired till they're 21, which, you know, most of us know is late into your junior year, if not your senior year. So really this is a workforce issue. It's an issue that's going to significantly help a lot of our smaller businesses. It's been supported by many chambers across the state, and I will sit back and wait for questions. Thank you.
Hang on, Senator. On some of these, as long as you gave us this handout, some of these are boldened. Is there a reason for that?
I think that was just the formatting came across.
Other proponent testimony.
Oh. I lied. Those are states in our region.
testimony.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Matt Krogman representing the South Dakota Licensed Beverage Dealers and Gaming Association. Our association includes many restaurant owners throughout the state. I'm not going to take your time repeating what the sponsors explained to you. They did a great job explaining the need for this. I just would point out that workforce for restaurants is a major issue, and you can just look and peer at how many of the restaurants aren't open as many nights as they used to be, or have reduced hours compared to what they used to have. Anything that we can help them out with creating extra workforce is great. Restaurants don't make money if they aren't open, and if they don't have a workforce in order to be open, they're not going to make money. So anything that can help that, we're in support of, and we'd appreciate your support as well. Thank you.
Other proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Bill Van Camp, a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. I think the previous speaker said it perfectly. This is a workforce issue for us. If anything, to help alleviate the problems that our members are having right now in staffing their restaurants. And this seems like a good common sense bill to us with safeguards in place.
Thank you. Other proponent testimony? Any proponent testimony? How about opponent testimony? Is online, is it opponent? Yep. Opponent testimony online. Mr. Reitzman?
Rhonda, can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead. If you would just state your name and who you're representing.
Brandon, South Dakota, and I am here to oppose Senate Bill 101. A little quick background about myself. I've been in the service industry since I was 18. I have not only served, I have bussed tables, and I have also been a bartender and still do currently bartend. Part-time at two of the largest establishments on the east side of the Missouri River. While I applaud the senator from Northeast South Dakota's idea and the thought of making the ability to have more employees for this industry from the ages of 18 to 20, I really do appreciate that because I think it's fair to say the workforce industry does have a huge shortage. But there's a couple key flaws to this. One, by allowing someone 18 to 20 years old to bartend while still requiring someone over the age of 21 to be there, we're not necessarily shortening the workforce issue. Essentially, we're doubling the requirement if there was someone of the age of 18 to 20 years old working while still requiring someone 21 to be there. Two, do we really want 18-year-olds that are still most likely going to be in high school or even into 19, because I was 19 in high school, do we want them working unnecessary hours, which in most restaurant establishments, a lot of them in small towns serve food past 11 p.m. Do you guys want your kids working till 2 a.m.? I, for one, don't. I have kids. I would never let my kid work that late. Three, unnecessary licensing. This state's about reducing regulations and make it an easier. Yes, the TAMS class is not that hard, but let's be honest, the TAMS class really doesn't do anything. It's a 35-minute test that puts a burden on an 18, 19, or 20-year-old college kid who really doesn't have any money already. These classes range anywhere from $35 to $60. Yeah, it's not a huge cost, but $60 bought me 14 days worth of groceries when I went to college. I applaud the idea. Obviously, there's a workforce shortage, but this just isn't the solution. I really urge this committee to vote no on Senate Bill 101. Thank you, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you. Any other opponent testimony in the room? Seeing none, we will move to rebuttal.
District 1, State Senator Mike Roll. The points that were raised, I guess I'll try to address them as we go along. I guess, firstly, there was a stated concern that we don't want kids in bars late, and there's two problems with that statement. Firstly, these aren't kids. These are legal adults. They can sign up to go into the military. Second of all, they're not allowed in bars. A bar, by definition, is over 50% sales in alcohol. This would be a restaurant-orientated. And I guess third problem with that particular statement would be, on top of that, not only are we saying, or I guess is the notion that we don't want kids there late, currently there is no time restriction. That server could still be there until 2 in the morning serving at an establishment that did these same things. The only thing this bill does or differs is that it's saying that if you have an employee that is 18, 19, or 20, which is currently allowed to be in these businesses already, which is currently allowed to stock the cooler with beer, which is currently allowed to take a beer from a bartender that cracked open the beer, they're able to currently walk it over to a table. In the current system, we're already trusting these kids, or young adults, or however I guess the opponent wanted to phrase it. We're already trusting them in that capacity. I want each one of you guys to think about when you guys went to a restaurant last time and you had a beverage. Was it the waitress that came out and ID'd you, or did the bartender come out from behind the bar and come check your ID? It was the waitress. It was the person that was waiting on your table. That's the person we're already trusting in this environment to do it. So that waitress is coming out. And honestly, in the current system, if I went to Buffalo Wild Wings and I was 20 years old and I sat down and I ordered a beer and my waitress gave it to me and it was a sting, not only would the waitress get in trouble, that bartender would get in trouble too, even though they had no part of that process. So we're currently already trusting 18, 19, and 20-year-olds to do it. They're already allowed to be in that establishment serving. The only thing this changes is that if they were TAM certified or a different nationally recognized training program, although South Dakota uses TAM, the only thing this would allow would be that they would be able to actually crack open the beer. I think there was also some mention of possibly it does no good because it would just double up. And I guess that would depend on the size of the establishment. But in quite a few of these restaurant-based establishments, you're often going to have multiple servers and bartenders. So if you're in the industry, you understand that sometimes when you go through, you know, you might have one bartender and eight waitresses. You know, that bartender is going to be extremely busy, and a lot of times you end up waiting where this person has to, they can literally go over to the cooler, grab the beer, bring it over, and have to sit there and wait for the bartender to be able to crack it open before they take it out. So really, we're not shifting any diagram. We're actually putting a little bit more emphasis and restriction on it by doing that TAM certification. Now, there was also mention of the cost of getting TAM certified and how that could be a disadvantage to a younger person. Well, on the flip side, as the opponent would know, traditionally the bartender is actually getting paid higher wages than a waitress. So I guess there's some incentive for that person to be able to go out and get TAM certified to be of more value to that business. But every single establishment, well, I shouldn't say that. The vast majority of establishments I know in my hometown, the business will actually go out, and it's true in my case as well, the business will go out and get that person TAM certified. Because currently in South Dakota law, we have an exception where if me as an employer, if I went out and got somebody TAM certified, it reduces my risk as an individual if they would fail a sting. So currently under law, if the person was not TAM certified, they would essentially get the full punishment, and so would the bar as far as a fine or as far as getting shut down, where in this particular instance, if the person was TAM certified, I believe their fee gets cut in half and the actual establishment's fee gets cut in half. And I don't want to say it because I'm not 100% sure, but I think there's also a stipulation in there if the person's not TAM certified, they could actually be arrested. But if they were TAM certified, I think that would go away. They'd just get the class 2. But essentially, when we're looking at the actual bill itself, we're not changing the dynamics of where they can be or when they could be there. We're only simply saying that if they go through these steps and they go through and they get a license and they get certified, they're able to do it. And we also need to keep in mind that these businesses are often attached to very expensive licenses, and those licenses can be pulled from the business owner. The business owner is not going to put themselves in a scenario where they're going to lose a $300,000 license because they're serving somebody underage or because they're letting something happen in that capacity. The vast majority of businesses out there are very protective of their licenses. So while I guess I understand the opponent's position, I guess it's just not necessarily true as far as holding steady, because we're not changing the dynamics of where they can and can't be. We're simply saying that, you know, if they're certified, if there's someone over 21 there, they should be able to do that as well. I think this bill is a very good bill. It's got the support of chambers of commerce across the state. The department helped me draft it. And as we heard, the industry is pretty in favor of it as well. So I'd encourage a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we will move to committee questions. Representative Willitson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Senator Roll, I'm not familiar with the TAM certification, so could you describe, the process of receiving the certification and then what it does, please?
So there's two different ways you can get a TAM certification. You can get a TAM certification by taking an online class and taking a test, or you can get a TAM certification by signing up for an in-class presentation, per se, with a test to follow. Those are done by licensed instructors throughout the state. There's typically, at least in Aberdeen, I think they do it two or three times a year. And if you're outside of that, you would take the online class. When you take the online class, they're actually very good about it. It'll be a video, and it'll ask a question, and then you got to click a button to be able to go on to the next deal. And at the end, there'll be a test that's timed that goes through it as well that makes sure you're not, per se, looking up answers or stuff like that, because you wouldn't have time to be able to finish the test, if that answers your question.
Representative Wilson, are you satisfied?
Follow-up, please.
Go ahead.
I'm assuming then that what they're trying to teach is a proper way to determine an individual if they're 21, and so on and things like that. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, so not only will they go through and talk about
would you please go through the chair?
Apologies, Mr. Chair. That is part of the actual process. They go through and talk about the different things and an ID and what needs to be there and what doesn't. But honestly, a very important piece of the class is also going through and showing signs and symptoms of intoxication, different ways to be able to navigate through. They actually categorize them in stages. They'll say that people in stage one are typically showing these signs. People in stage two are typically in these signs. I believe they actually say if you hit stage three, you should not be serving them in any capacity. I think stage four is actually you need to call somebody because they're not doing well. But really, it's an entire class that teaches about alcohol, its effects, the delayed response that it obviously has. And it teaches them different ways to be able to manage a person that might be incapacitated.
Thank you.
Representative Wilson, are you satisfied?
Yes, thank you.
Representative Perry, you have a question?
Yes, for the sponsor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Roll, the question I have would be for the younger person that's waiting on someone before, the bartender cracks the beer, the person takes it out, gives it to the person. The bartender's responsible. Who gets the penalty now? Would the person that's cracking the beer get a new type of penalty, or how's that going to work?
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
If I understand the question, I think you're saying if this bill was enacted, who would get the penalty
for
an underage person?
Yeah.
It would still be both parties, or if it was one party that did both actions, it would be them as well. But the way that it would fall back on the business owner in the end, because they're the ones responsible for their establishments.
Representative, you satisfied?
Yes, and I think when we have somebody testifying that actually understands the business, it really helps us understand the answer. Thank you.
Representative Snyder, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for Senator Roll. I just wanted to follow up with the TAMS training cost. I think I heard the opponents say that it could run between $35 and $60 and maybe takes around 35 minutes. I'm not sure I heard all that correct. Just wondering if you agree with that. And then one other thing you, I think, mentioned that the cost maybe typically could be paid by the business itself.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
That is correct. Oftentimes, the business itself, when they're trying to get somebody to move into that position, they'll do it themselves or they'll pay for it. I require my employees to do it. But I guess as a side note, too, this bill wouldn't even affect me. I'm an actual bar. I'm not a restaurant. And I think, I don't remember what the original question now was.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was just wanting to make sure that the cost that we heard, $35 to $60, is that agreeable with what you understand per what the opponent suggested?
Mr. Chair? Correct. So the online class, I believe, is $35, and the in-person classes do vary because the instructor, I think, has a range that they're able to charge, I guess, for their time per se. And I think the 30 to 35 minutes that you're referring to isn't the class. That's the actual test at the end. The class is probably about 4 hours.
Thank you.
Mr. Snyder, are you satisfied?
Yes, thank you.
Are there any other questions of the committee? Any other questions of the committee? Then I choose to close public testimony and committee discussion and or action, please.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move due pass on Senate Bill 101.
Second.
Representative Reed moved due pass, seconded by Representative Perry. Call for the vote.
No, comments on the motion.
I'm sorry, comments on the motion. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I think this is a good bill. Obviously, there's workforce issues. I think everyone sees it. And so if this is a way of helping our restaurants, I think it's a good thing to do. I also know that and you see it all the time in restaurants, they do a good job with carding and managing. I think if the firm, the company that running the restaurant, the manager, you know, if they set a good culture through the organization, I don't think it matters if someone's 18 or 21 and when it comes to serving alcohol. And I also like, and I didn't realize this, and I'm glad it was brought up, you know, for grocery stores, you know, the efficiency there for getting through the grocery store when they have to call a manager over when you're purchasing alcohol. And, of course, all of this is by the choice of the business owner. So if the business owner decides they think it's proper to do, the business owner can do it. So for all those reasons, I'm supporting Senate Bill 101.
Thank you. I'd like to make one comment myself. I find it very difficult to sit and chair a committee and be in the liquor business. I mean, it's putting me in between a rock and a hard place. So anyway, I vote on this. I just want all of you to understand why. Okay, so thank you. Please restate the motion to do pass. And it was made by Representative Reed and seconded by Perry, and I'd like to call for the vote. Is that okay?
Representatives Anderson?
Aye.
Bartles?
Aye.
Bordeaux?
Aye.
Ladner is excused. Perry?
Aye.
Reed?
Aye.
Schneider?
Aye.
Vascard?
Aye.
Weiss?
No.
Weisgram?
Aye.
Willitson?
Aye.
Beal?
No.
And Milstead is excused. So, Mr. Chair, we have 2 nays and 10 yeas.
I will send
That's 9 yea. And 2 yea. There are 2 excuse. 2 nay and 1 excused. 9 yea, 2 excused. I'm sorry. 2 nays and 1 excused.
I move Senate Bill 101 to the floor. 9 yeas. 2 nays.
I wrote down excuse there.
1 excuse.
1 excuse.
At this time, we...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Mark Willardson from District 11 in Sioux Falls. Greetings, committee. This Senate Bill 148, I would hold up as an example of how our legislation is supposed to work. When the bill was first brought out, you know, the independent agents had some issues with the bill and how it was worded. The industry, the Division of Insurance, the agents all got together and worked it out so that everybody's happy. Everybody's, you know, supportive of the final result, which is Senate Bill 148 that I bring to you today. It is a national model. It's been adopted in 19 other states, including most of the states around us. The draft of the bill, you know, had strong support throughout. After, you know, the amendments were made, this is really how legislation is supposed to work. There's several others that would like to testify in favor of the bill, so I'll step aside for questions, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Justin Smith, attorney from Sioux Falls. I'm the registered lobbyist for the American Council of Life Insurers, which is the trade association nationally for the life insurance industry. We want to thank Representative Willardson and on the Senate side, Senator Crabtree, for working with ACLI, the Division of Insurance, and other stakeholder groups on this bill. We also want to thank the independent insurance agents and NAFA for their participation in the discussions. I want to talk about some of the reasons why national model legislation are good for South Dakota and good for the insurance industry and consumers. Now, the insurance industry needs uniformity in laws in all 50 states, since insurers sell products in all 50 states. Like state legislatures, insurance carriers do not want the federal government regulating insurance. We prefer the efficient and accessible insurance regulation of the 50 state-level insurance divisions. To prevent Congress from overreaching into the domain of state regulators, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners studies and develops model laws on insurance. Like SB 148, these models are developed over time, and input is solicited from stakeholder groups. This means the entities to be regulated, as well as the consumers to be protected, have been at the table. Let's talk about the background of 148. Before we get into the heart of the bill, we want to help the committee understand the background of the implicated issues. What is an annuity? As I talked about several weeks ago on a prior bill, an annuity is a long-term investment that is issued by an insurance company and is designed to help protect you from the risk of outliving your income. Through annuitization, your purchase premiums, meaning what you contribute to buy the product, are converted into periodic payments that can last for life. These products are particularly popular among retirees and other consumers who are seeking a guaranteed income for a term of years while also collecting interest on their investment. So who sells annuities? Annuities are issued to consumers by insurance companies, but the point of sale is typically an individual insurance agent here in South Dakota. The consumer interested in investing money will meet with the agent to discuss available options and products, including potentially annuities. These agents are licensed to sell annuities and other investment products, making them subject to regulation by our Division of Insurance. So what standards apply today to sales of annuity products by agents? Under current South Dakota law, found in Chapter 5833A, an agent who recommends an annuity to a consumer must have, quote, reasonable grounds for believing that the recommendation is suitable for the consumer. This suitability standard requires the agent to consider certain factors about the consumer and his financial background in making any recommendation for the purchase of an annuity product. In this way, the consumer is protected from unsuitable recommendations of annuities. On the flip side, the agent recommending the sale is protected from allegations of misconduct when the consumer later becomes dissatisfied with the annuity product, so long as the agent complied with the suitability requirement. So now, what is the purpose of SB 148? The national model was developed to raise the standard of care for these annuity sales from a suitability standard to a best interest standard. If you'll look at Section 4 of the bill, beginning on page 5, line 18, this is the heart. A producer, when making a recommendation of an annuity, shall act in the best interest of the consumer under the circumstances known at the time the recommendation is made, without placing the producer's or the insurer's financial interest ahead of the consumer's interest. This is the heart of the bill, which enacts a heightened standard of care in our law for the protection of consumers, many of whom are retirees or seniors and depend on the advice of their agent. Now we continue reading in Section 4, subject to the amendment that was put on the other side. Quote, for purposes of this section, a producer has acted in the best interest of the consumer by satisfying the obligations regarding care in Sections 7 through 9 of this Act inclusive, 11 through 13, 14, and 15. Excuse me. This language is intended to limit the universe of obligations on the part of the agent in order to meet the best interest standard of care. The agent recommending or selling an annuity must comply with all of the requirements in sections 7 to 14, or 7 to 15, excuse me, documenting his compliance and getting written confirmation from the consumer. So long as the agent meets each of the listed requirements for consumer protection, the provisions of Chapter 5833A will have been satisfied, and the agent has met the requirement to, quote, act in the best interest of the consumer without placing the agent's financial interest ahead of the consumer's interest. In these ways, this bill will strike an important balance between greater protections for consumers and regulatory traps for insurance agents. Unlike the current suitability standard, the nature and scope of the best interest requirement enacted by SB 148 will be clearly defined. Now, we acknowledge this is a lengthy bill. We're updating the regulatory insurance statutes in an entire chapter of the code, all of which have been in place since 2008. Given the complexity of these issues and products, Chapter 5833A has 32 separate statutes governing the standards for advertisement, solicitation, and sale of these products. In order to update to the superior best interest standard of care, comprehensive changes are necessary, and you'll also note that there are changes made by LRC for style and form revisions to the code. We don't anticipate any opposition to the bill. Certainly there was not on the Senate side. It passed the Senate unanimously. If the committee has any questions on any of these sections, I will stand by. We'd ask you to please vote to pass SB 148 so South Dakota can join the 19 other states, including many of our neighbors, that have already passed this timely model update to insurance regulation. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other proponent testimony? Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Frank Marnell. I'm Senior Legal Counsel for the South Dakota Division of Insurance, part of the Department of Labor and Regulation. And we're here today to support Senate Bill 148. As Mr. Smith said, this bill addresses annuity sales. And while most agents do a great job of selling annuities to consumers, this particular product has had a history of producing consumer complaints from a small minority of bad actors, especially against vulnerable populations like the elderly and disabled. Unsuitable annuities can lock retirement savings and other funds into an annuity that might not pay out for years past the annuitant's life expectancy. Sometimes an annuitant has sold multiple annuities in a short period of time, which incurs many surrender charges that eats away at their initial investment, and sometimes people end up with less money overall than when they started. These are actual examples that we see that this bill is trying to prevent and detect. Senate Bill 148 updates our standards to address these concerns and preserve state authority while harmonizing the insurance regulatory scheme with the Security and Exchange Commission's new regulation best interest standard finalized in June 2019. This bill keeps the feds out and keeps insurance regulation local. The division would like to thank Senator Crabtree, Representative Willetson for bringing this bill, the American Council for Life Insurers for leading the charge on this, as well as all the stakeholders we've talked to in the preceding weeks to make this a great South Dakota version of this model. With that, I urge your support for this bill, which strengthens consumer protections, provides for fair and level regulation of annuity sales, and I will stand by for any questions the committee might have.
Thank you very much. Further proponent testimony?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Randy Moses, Independent Insurance Agents of South Dakota. And as Representative Willetson alluded to, we were not exactly fans of this to start out with. But through a lot of good effort by some of the other folks involved with this process, including Larry Nelson and Justin Smith, to name two, and then not to mention the Division of Insurance and Larry Dieter and his folks worked hard on this to get this amendment put on that we could all agree to, as well as agreeing with us to kind of work on the loose ends in the off season. So we were able to arrive at a compromise on this legislation. What does this do for agents, or do to agents, I guess would be the proper way to say it. we have increased responsibilities. We got more record keeping. We have a higher standard we have to meet when we sell an annuity, with this best interest standard. But we're willing to take that on. We recognize that there is a protection of the consumers is a need, and we know that division needs the extra standards in place to effectively regulate this product. So I think the agents should be applauded for agreeing to take on the extra load and for the good of the greater good of the state. So we'd appreciate you passing this out. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Darla Pullman Rogers. I'm an attorney here in Pierre, and I'm a registered lobbyist for NAFA of South Dakota. That's the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. NAFA is a statewide trade association, and our members are life and health insurance agents throughout the state of South Dakota. As the previous speaker said, this bill directly affects our members. It is imposing a new and higher standard on our insurance producers who sell annuities. Because the bill basically changes the rules of the game, it's frankly causing some of our members a little bit of angst. However, we recognize that this is a model act and it maintains regulation within our state. We recognize that a lot of work has gone into this this model bill. We also appreciate very much being part of the discussions here in South Dakota. I agree with Representative Willitson that this is an example of how things can work in our state. We were at the table. The other interested parties helped to answer some of our questions and concerns. So as we are, as I appear before you today, we do support the bill and ask you to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman? My name is Larry Nelson. I'm a registered lobbyist for AIG Insurance. I'm an attorney from Canton, South Dakota, and I wanted to thank everyone that worked together on getting this bill in its final form, and I would appreciate your support on the bill. Thank you. Yes.
Is there any other proponent testimony? No other proponent testimony. Is there any opponent testimony? Is there any opponent testimony? Seeing none, I will ask for no rebuttal. I will ask for committee questions. Go ahead.
Chair.
Representative Reed.
A question for Mr. Smith. You could answer this. This being a... May I proceed, Mr. Chair?
You may proceed.
This being a long bill, I'm trying to get through all of it. The last statement is it should take effect January 1st of 2023, and so there's a little extra time. Then there was also some discussion about training. Did I understand that correctly as that you have to train on these new regulations, and everybody that that is licensed to do this needs to be trained then by January 1st, 2023? Did I understand that properly in the bill?
Mr. Chairman? Representative Weed, Reed, good question. I would say that your two questions are probably pretty related. One of the reasons why there's the delayed implementation date is to give everybody, agents, insurance carriers, and the Division of Insurance, a time and opportunity to implement this, to pass any necessary regulations that clarify some of these things. It gives the stakeholders, like Mr. Moses's organization, time to work with the division on those. And then, yes, the agents will want to do some training of their agents once it's implemented. Implemented before this goes into effect.
Follow up then, just make sure I'm understanding this.
Go ahead.
So, but they have to, right? I mean, they have to be updated, or they have to go through some updated courses by the 2023 to make sure that they can sell.
I don't know the answer to that question. It's probably more one for the Division of Insurance. My assumption from our meetings on this bill is yes, they will go through additional training. They have to do that as part of this process so that they're familiar with it.
Just a nod there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Chair. Representative Weiss-Graham, you have a question?
Yes, for Mr. Marnell, please. Okay. I'm sure it's a good bill. I'm just curious. You made a note of there has been a history of complaints from consumers. Tell me, in a year's time, less than 100, more than 100, just give me an idea of what. And I'll follow it up with, because you can answer it all in one shot. In these other states that have passed this, I think 19 other states you mentioned, did the complaints go down?
Mr. Chair? It's difficult for me to estimate the number of complaints that we have in a year. I would estimate that probably somewhere in the range of 10 to a dozen. 2 years ago would be now, in the spring of 2020, we finally completed the revocation of two particular insurance producers. They sold one woman 14 annuities in 9 years and took very great advantage. So when we do find these, they are quite severe and they're difficult to prosecute and proceed with. In other states, the reason the model has passed, like it is here, or is recommended here, is that it produces a standard that has slightly increased documentation on the part of an insurance producer, and so it's easier to detect this going on. The insurance company itself also has a couple of additional responsibilities to make sure that they're cross-checking and that someone isn't being sold multiple annuities in a short time like this. So that's what this bill is trying to do, is to help us detect it when it does happen so we can take action as appropriate.
Representative Weisgram, are you satisfied?
I am. Thank you.
Any other committee questions? No other committee questions. I will proceed to close public testimony and ask for committee discussion and or action. Representative Perry.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass on Senate Bill 148.
Second.
Representative Perry moves due pass on Senate Bill 148. Representative Anderson, second. Any comments on your motion?
My comment is that this is a bill that looks like it's been well thought out. The industry is accepting it. It has higher standards. It's similar to 19 other states. It was brought to us by a legislator that puts thought into everything he does. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will restate the motion, which would be due pass on Senate Bill 148, made by Representative Perry and seconded by Anderson. Are there any comments on that discussion on that motion? Then I will ask for the Secretary to call a vote.
Representatives Anderson.
Aye.
Bartles.
Aye.
Bordeaux.
Aye.
Ladner is excused. Perry.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Schneider.
Aye.
Vasgard.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Weisgram.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Beal.
Aye.
Representative Milstead is excused. That is 11 yay, 2 excused.
I'll declare it to consent. Thank you. And I guess that wraps it up for today. Would anybody entertain a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
I have a motion from Perry to adjourn and seconded by Weiss. Representative, will you call the vote? I'll just... All those in favor say yay.
Yay.
Aye.
All those in nay.
Nay.
I declare us closed.
Okay, excuse us. We didn't get who moved.
What's that?
Who moved to adjourn?
Who moved to adjourn? Perry did.
Who seconded?
Perry.
Weiss.
And you, okay, Perry. And okay, thank you.